Today we'd like to see the title of Isaac and Rebekah in Genesis chapter 24, verses 1 to 67. To the souls on this online world through podcast or YouTube channel on the earth, we'd like to suggest the three exposition questions. Number one, in verse 2. So Abraham said to the oldest servants of his house who ruled over all that he had, please put your hand under my thigh. Who was the oldest servant in the scripture, and what does he play a role, and what can we learn from here spiritually? Question 2, in verse 53, then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. What does it mean spiritually, and how can you apply it to our lives? Last question, in verse 65, for she had said to the servant, who is this man walking in the field to meet us? The servant said, it is my master. So she took up a veil and covered herself. What does it mean spiritually, and how can we apply it to our lives? In the last time, in Genesis chapter 23, verses 19-20, so Sarah was buried in Hebron, death one. Today, the first one. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Chapter 23 of Genesis describes the death and burial of Sarah, Isaac's mother. 3 years after this event, as recorded in Genesis 24 today, Isaac married Rebekah when he was 40 years old. This timing precisely placed the events in relation to Isaac's life. The marriage occurred after the initial mourning period for his mother and was a significant turning point in his early maturity. Verse 2, question 1. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house who ruled over all that he had, please put your hand under my thigh. And then, this passage, because on the significant role of Eliezer of Damascus, Abraham's oldest servant, whose name Hebrew for God my help, was explicitly mentioned in Genesis chapter 15:2. As the potential heir before Isaac's birth was promised, this servant, though unnamed in Genesis 24, where he is tasked with procuring a bride for Isaac, is interpreted as a type of the Holy Spirit, like the Holy Spirit, who Jesus said would be the comforter and spirit of truth, sent to testify and magnify Christ, John chapter 15, 26. Elijah's sole duty was to woo 500 miles away and bring bride Rebekah back to his master son, Isaac. And the culture and of having the servant place a hand under Abraham's thigh to validate the agreement to serve as a binding covenant, analogous to modern practice like shaking hands or swearing an oath, underscoring the seriousness of his mission. So cross-reference there, verse 3, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of Canaanites among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac. Abraham's directive for his oldest servant to find a wife for Isaac was driven by the desire to maintain covenant purity by ensuring Isaac not marry women from the surrounding Canaanite nations who were considered pagan heathens. D. This practice of seeking a spouse from among their own kin, especially from Abraham's family residing in Mesopotamia, was a crucial strategy at the time. It was intended not merely as a cultural norm, but as a religious imperative to preserve the unique spiritual lineage and prevent the assimilation of his family into idolatrous practice of the land in which they dwelt. Verse 5, and the servant said to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? Verse 6, but Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. Abraham strictly forbade Isaac from returning to Mesopotamia, realizing that if his son left the land of promised Canaan, he might be persuaded to settle there permanently, thereby thwarting the special covenant purposes of God, as stated in Genesis chapter 24, verse 7, to give your descendants, I give this land. Abraham's insistence that Isaac remain in Canaan demonstrates his commitment to complete and full obedience to God, who had given the promise concerning the area and the location of the inheritance. Isaac's continued residence in the land after his marriage, as commanded by his father, was a crucial part of fulfilling the divine promise. Verse 7, the Lord God of heaven who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family and who spoke to me, swear to me, saying, to your descendants I give this land. He will send his angel before me and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow it, then you will be released from this source. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand on the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he rose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city of a well of water, or at the evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. In the ancient village life, the well was a critical resource typically situated outside the settlements along the main thoroughfare, serving as the chief source of water for the entire community. More than just a utility, it functioned as a vital social hub and meeting place where women like Rebecca would routinely visit, often twice daily, to draw water for their families. This necessity of daily water retrieval made the well a natural location for conversation, forming new friendship, and gathering local loose. Verse 12, then he said, O Lord God of my master, Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Having been thoughtfully instructed by his master Abraham in matters of faith and knowledge of God, making Abraham highly effective witness, Elijah, the trusted servant, understood the monumental importance of his mission. Therefore, before acting, Elijah paused at the well to earnestly ask God for sufficient guidance in fulfilling the task of securing the proper bride for Isaac, demonstrating that he had learned to rely on divine intervention for success in this critical God-ordained endeavor. Verse 13, behold, here I stand by the well of water, and daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. As evening arrived, the traditional time for drawing water, the servant Elijah positioned himself by the well with his kneeling camels, observing the young women beginning to emerge from the city. Recognizing the crucial moment, he immediately offered a prayer to the Lord, asking for divine guidance and the success of his mission to identify the bride for Isaiah, thereby entrusting the outcome of his task to God's favor. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink. And she said, drink, and I will also give you camels to drink. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaiah. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. To make sure he found the woman God had chosen for Isaiah, Elijah asked God for a clear sign. He decided that the right woman would not only give him water when he asked, but would also willingly offer to draw water for all 10 of his camels, a task requiring great effort. This was meant to show her character, her kindness, generosity, and willingness to serve, rather than her appearance or wealth. In this way, Rebecca was revealed as God's chosen one. This story reflects the New Testament truth that the church, like Rebecca, as Isaac's bride, is chosen by God in advance to belong to Christ's bridegroom, to bring glory and praise to him. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. 15, and it happened before he had finished speaking that, behold, Rebecca, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abram's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Verse 15, the servant Elijah had barely finished his prayer, in which he recast a specific sign to identify the divine appointed bride, when Rebecca appeared carrying her pitch and immediately proceeded to the well to draw water. This swift direct response validated his faith that the Lord would promptly answer his petition and confirm the chosen woman. Verse 16 up to 20, now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin. No man had known her, and she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your pitcher. So she said, drink, my lord. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water to Drew for all his camels. Rebecca demonstrated the exceptional character by willingly drawing water for Elijah and his 10 camels, an act of significant labor and generosity. This heart beauty, a profound willingness to serve others, was considered as admirable as her recognized physical beauty, confirming her suitability to be the chosen bride. 21. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent, so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. As Rebecca quickly and willingly drew waters for all the camels, Elijah was filled with wonder, marveling at her pleasant, gracious, energetic nature, which suggested a heart capable of extraordinary service. He silently observed, waiting for the completion of the task before speaking, recognized that her generous actions potentially confirmed her as the woman God had chosen for Isaiah. 22, so it was when the camels had finished drinking that the man took a golden nose ring, weighing half a shekel, and two bracelets for her waist, weighing 10 shekels of gold. Upon the completion of her service, Elijah presented Rebecca with heavy pieces of jewelry, which are not only valuable gifts, but also significant signs of his master's prosperity and wealth in that era. 23, and said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? Elijah was thrilled when Rebekah's identity fulfilled the two conditions given by Abraham. First, she demonstrated the gracious of heart to his soul. And second, she revealed that she was from his master's own kindred and country, a confirmation that greatly pleased the servants. 24. So she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor. Moreover, she said to him, we have both store and field enough and room to lodge. The name Nahor was music to the servant's ear, confirming that this beautiful and gracious young woman was the granddaughter of Abram's brother Nahor. Given that Isaac was born when Abram was 100 and Rebekah was Nahor's granddaughter, they were close in age, making Rebekah Isaac's second cousin. 26 up 27, then the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master brethren. Upon realizing that God had perfectly answered his specific prayer, Elijah's immediate and heartfelt response was to worship God and offer praise and thanksgiving for his goodness and guidance. This act serves as an example that our first response to God's intervention in our lives should be gratitude. It's learned divine leading requires movement. The narrative highlights that the Lord led him while he was on the way. This demonstrated the principle that receiving divine guidance often requires stepping out in faith and taking action. God guides us as we are moving. If one remains stationary waiting for leading, they may wait indefinitely. 20. So the young woman ran and told her mother's household this thing. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran out to the man by the well. The narrative introduced Laban, Rebekah's brother, who will reappear later when Jacob, Isaac's son, flees Esau and seeks a refuge with his uncle in Mesopotamia. 30. So it came to pass, when he saw the nose ring and the bracelet on his sister's wrist, and when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah saying, just the man spoke to me, that he went to the man, and there he stood by the camel at the well. Laban, who would later be known for his greedy dealings with Jacob, likely rushed out to meet Elijah at the well because he saw the gold jewelry Rebekah was wearing. This display of wealth suggested that the man was rich, motivating Laban to welcome him quickly. 31. And he said, come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camel. 32-33, then the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels and provided straw and feed of the camels and water to wash his feet, to feed the men who were with him. Food was set before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told about my rent. And he said, speak on. Upon arrival, Elijah and his party were offered water to wash their feet, a standard custom of hospitality. Given that travelers wore sandals on dusty roads, this act was not only courteous but necessary for cleanliness and comfort after a long journey. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. And Sarai, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and to him he has given all that he has. The Holy Spirit type Elijah represented Holy Spirit began the process of wooing Rebecca for Isaac by testifying to the glory and the wealth of his master's kingdom, and the fact that Abraham had appointed Isaac as the sole heir all he possesses. This mirrors the Holy Spirit's current work, which is to magnify Jesus Christ and woo the church to become the bride of Christ and joint heir of the kingdom of God's magnificent riches and glory. 37 of 44. Now my master made me to swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the rest of the Canaanite in whose land I dwell, but you shall go to my father's house and to my family to take a wife for my son. And I said to my master, perhaps the woman will not follow me. But he said to me, the Lord before whom I work will send his angel with you and prosper your way, and you shall take a wife for my son from my family and from my father's house. You will be clear from this oath when you arrive among my family, for if they will not give her to you, then you will be released from my oath. And this day I came to the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will not prosper the way in which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes out to draw water, and I say to her, please give me a little water from your pitcher drink. And she says to me, drink, and I will draw for your camels also. Let her be the woman to whom Lord has appointed my master's son. To the family, the servant faithfully rehearsed the entire experience, recounting Abraham's solemn commission, the oath, and special instruction not to take a wife from Canaan, but from his own family. For about before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was a Rebecca coming out with her pitchers on her shoulder, and she went down to the well to draw water, and I said to her, please let me drink. And Elijah's testimony reveals an important detail. He prayed to God in his heart, speaking in his heart, while at the well. This demonstration that God can hear the silent, earnest prayers, the heart, and does not require them to be orderly articulated. And he is speaking in his heart. 46. She made a haste to let her pitcher down from his shoulder, said, drink, and I will give your camels a drink also. So I drank, and she gave the camels a drink also. Then I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. So I put the nose rings on her nose and bracelets on her wrists. And I bowed my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord of God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the way of truth to take a daughter of my master's brother for his son. In telling his story to Laban and the family, Elijah openly recounted God's providence and goodness in guiding him directly to Rebekah. This serves as a lesson for believers to openly share what God is doing for them, rather than magnifying their own efforts. 49. Now if you would deal kindly and truly with you, my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, this thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either bad or good. Here is Rebecca, before you take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass, when Abraham's servant heard their word, that he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Elijah repeated the act of worship prayer, prostrating himself before God, on several occasions demonstrated a profound positive influence of Abraham's faith example on his entire household. 53, then the servant brought out a jewel, a silver jewelry of gold and clothing, gave them to Rebecca. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. Eliezer gave Rebecca beautiful jewelry and clothing as a sign of the riches of his master household, as a promise of what awaited her in the future. These gifts were to preview the great inheritance to come. In the same way, believers in Christ receive gifts from the Holy Spirit, which serve as a guarantee or a down payment of the full redemption and glory that God has promised in His heavenly kingdom. 54, and he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. Then they arose in the morning, and he said, "Send me away to my master." But her brother and her mother said, "Let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10, after that she may go." When Rebecca's family sought to delay her departure, they represented the temptation of the world to cause a delay in commitment to Jesus Christ, the desire to live a little first before being saved is fundamentally flawed, as a true life begins only in Christ. Philippians cross-reference right there. 56, and he said to them, "Do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master." So they said, "We will call the young woman and ask her personally." Then they called Rebecca and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." The servant, like the spirit, ultimately posed the critical personal question to Rebecca, "Will you go?" Her simple, resolute answer, "I will go," illustrates the necessary individual commitment required to begin the journey toward Christ and His kingdom. 15, so they sent away Rebecca, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his man. Rebecca departed with her nurse, like Deborah mentioned later, and her personal maids, indicating her status and the provision made for her comfort. 60, and they blessed Rebecca and said to her, "Our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them." The family blessed Rebecca with the wish, "May your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them," which served as a powerful declaration that she and her descendants would overcome all their enemies. 61, then Rebecca and her maid arose, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebecca and departed. Rebecca's journey is on the back of an uncomfortable camel of approximately 500 miles was a significant trial, requiring her to relax and endure hardship. This difficult journey is likened to the trials of life believers face, where we are encouraged to endure with our eyes fixed on the glorious reward ahead. Eliezer's presence continually encouraging her with tales of Isaac's nature and the kingdom's glory, parallel to Holy Spirit's comforting role when we become discouraged. Now Isaac came from the way Beer Lahar Roi, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. And he lifted his eyes, looked, and there the camels were coming. Then Rebecca lifted her eye, and she saw Isaac. She dismounted and her camel, for she had said to the servant, "Who is this man working in the field to meet us?" Question 3. When Rebecca learned that the man working toward the man was Isaac, her husband-to-be, she followed oriental custom by dismounting her camel, showing respect, and placing a veil over her face, a sign of a bride submission. And Isaac's measured work to meet the returning servant, even after seeing successful sign of 10 camels and a larger company, is noted for its lack of immediate emotion haste. This is compared to the believers' impatience for the second coming Jesus, who seemed to walk instead of run, urging believers to possess patience, establish their hearts until the Lord coming draws nigh. 6:6, and the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Upon bringing Rebekah into his deceased mother Sarah's tent, Isaac loved her, finding comfort after 3 years of mourning his mother's death. This profound connection between Isaac and Rebekah is presented as an image of Christ's love for his own. So churches and Christ's love. Okay, we covered all the questions. You continue to keep on praying for is missionary prayer, especially we give thanks and we are able to publish book because we received the LCCN. So continually also free, you know, the book available right here, the Cordon SM8. Also this coming Saturday, everybody invited to Christmas celebration lunch. So the address is there. So may God bless you. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.